Start off with, you might say, a very unusual video. My wife received it on YouTube, and it's a video about the Ukraine, which is much in the news today. We're hearing about the Ukraine. And in this video, this little girl or young woman comes out and draws a picture of the history of the Ukraine in the sand. And it's a marvelous video. You're just spellbound by it because she draws the history of what happened and the wars and the things. It's about a seven-minute video, and it's the title of it is "She Walked Out on Stage and Blew Everybody Away." And it's a story of the history of the Ukraine. And later on, after the video, I would like to talk about the story of Jesus, the story of Jesus that can blow you away. So we'll see the video now, and then we'll have our service after that.
Говорит Москва, граждане и гражданки Советского Союза. Сегодня, 22 июня, 4 часа утра, день объявления войны. Германские войска напали на нашу страну. Атаковали наши границы во многих местах, подвергли бомбардировки города, и номер
темная ночь, только пули свистят по степи. Только ветер гудит в провода, тускло звезды мерцают. В темную ночь ты, любимая, знаю, не спишь, и у детской кроватки тайком ты слезу утираешь.
Thank you.
кажется порой, что солдат с кровавых не пришедшие полей не в землю нашу полегли когда-то, а превратились в белых журавлей. Они до сей поры с времен тех дальних летят и подают нам голоса. Не потому так часто и печально мы замолкаем, глядя в небеса.
When I look at that, I just think, boy, that's something you couldn't learn, and wish I knew what she wrote at the end. Very moving, the history of the Ukraine and how it changed, and so we're going to be talking about the stories of Jesus, and some of the stories that we read about Jesus are stories that would blow you away. At least they do me. And we'll be talking about those stories of Jesus. Stories of Jesus blown away. In life, there are sometimes experiences in life that just blow us away. Some people are blown away by different things. I remember I'm normally a pretty passive guy. And we went to a few weeks ago. My son-in-law was in town, and he never had been to the ballpark and seen the Tigers play. Never been to Comerica Park, So we bought tickets for the family, and we all went, my daughter and grandkids, we all went to Comerica Park. Of course, I had been there before and watched the Tigers lose. And the funny thing about it is, if you go to a ball game with me, I usually just sit there and watch the game. I'm not one of those that jump up and wave and, you know, do all the waves. I just it's not my personality. And I'm sitting next to my daughter and my wife, and they're clapping in my ears, way, you know, one way. And I just sit there very passively. But there are some things in life that just blow us away. And for me, that happens when I have a personal experience, when something happens uniquely, especially when I know that God does it and there's no other explanation involved. And I've had tremendous times in which I've just been blown away at what God has done. And so we're going to be talking this morning about stories of Jesus and some of these stories that blew some people away. According to the stories of Jesus, according to John chapter 1, and we're going to be spending some time in John, quite a bit of it, in fact, the first few chapters, John chapter 1. And I think for purposes, glasses bother me. As you know, I take them on and off, but I think I'm just going to leave them on the whole time this time, and so I don't have to fidget with my glasses, because I can really see really good with them on or off. My distance vision is good. It's just my close vision that causes me to have glasses. So I'm going to try and just leave them on and not distract. But in the Gospel of John, the stories of Jesus begin. And John makes it clear in the very opening statements that the story of Jesus began with the creation of the heavens and the earth. They began in the eternity past, where Jesus coexisted with God the Father. And in this coexistence and in this beginning of time, in John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, He made all things, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the story of Jesus begins with the creation of the earth. And I like this verse because it tells us both positively and negatively of what Jesus did. It tells us positively that it tells us that all things came into being, or all things were made by him. And in case you're a pessimist and you like the negative point of view, then it goes on to say that nothing came into being apart from him. A positive and a negative. Jesus made all things, and without Jesus, nothing that you see or know about, or nothing that was made, was made without him. Double a negative and a positive. And this fact, of course, is collaborated in the opening verses of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so this lays the foundation for everything that comes after that. This is the foundation for the stories of Jesus, and this is where it began. It began with the creation of the heavens and the earth, and you and I, and this is the beginning of the stories of Jesus. And if we reject that truth in the Bible, then the rest of the stories of Jesus are just fairy tales. And they're just imaginations of somebody that did some nice things. And they're reduced to fairy tales if we do not accept God's word that Jesus is the creator of the heavens and earth and everything that we see in them. Jesus also tells us, or John also tells us, that this Jesus came into the world that he made. Verse 4 in John 1. In him was life. He came into the world. Verse 7, he came. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And I think that a lot of times we refer to this as the when Jesus was here on earth. But I think this particular verse, these particular verses tell us of Jesus' activity in this earth before incarnation. He came unto his, he came into the world that he had made before his incarnation. And the world in which he came into didn't know him. And even his own Jewish nation to whom he gave the law did not recognize Jesus. So Jesus was active and engaged and participated in world events pre-incarnation days. He existed from eternity past, and he was involved. He made everything in the world, and he was involved in his creation all down through the Old Testament times. And we read of sometimes where he took on special forms and appeared and a man. And we read in the gospel or in the book of Daniel how that there were five men in the furnace or four men in the furnace, and only three were thrown in, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it says the one was like the Son of God. And so God made appearances, and God was involved in creation, and his own creation did not recognize him, nor did the Jewish people to whom he had given the law. And Jesus said in the New Testament, search the scriptures, he said to the Pharisees. Search the scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. Now, what scriptures was he talking about? Not the New Testament scriptures. The Old Testament scriptures. The Bible that Jesus read, the Old Testament. And so these scriptures testified of Jesus in the Old Testament. Furthermore, you remember the story in Luke, just a couple pages back, Luke chapter 24. And Luke 24, there were these two folks that were traveling back to Emmaus after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were traveling back because they had pinned all their hopes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they even tell that to the Lord. If we look back at the chapter, the Lord comes along, they're sad, they're going back, and verse after verse, the Lord allows them to tell them their hopeless and sorrowful story. We trusted it in him. We looked to him. But alas, all his other hopes were dashed. All their expectations came to an end. And then Jesus says, and there's so many verses that cover what they say, and Jesus says they walked along this 7 miles, listened to them pour out their hearts, how disappointed and how distraught and how bewildered, and they had trusted and they had hoped, and now it was all dashed to pieces. And Jesus listened to all that, and one verse says this: Jesus said to them, beginning at Moses and with all the prophets, he explained unto them the things concerning himself. Old Testament scriptures. Jesus was involved in Old Testament times. We greatly misunderstand the Old Testament scriptures. If we think that they are just stories about Abraham and Moses and Joshua and David and Daniel and Noah, no, they're not stories about that. They're stories about Jesus. And we miss them. We get all, and you wonder how the Old Testament, how the Jewish people could miss these stories. They were stories about Jesus and not about Moses. And then they concentrated on Moses, and God had to remember, Jesus had to remind them, Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven, but God did. They forgot about that. They got all caught up in the stories of the patriarchs, in the history of the Jewish nation, and they missed the stories of Jesus. We do the same in our day. We read the New Testament, and we read of James and Paul and Stephen and Mary and Martha and Peter. And we read all these stories, these things that happened to them. And they're not just stories about them. They're stories about Jesus. One of my favorite quotations from Max Lucado is this, and I think I've mentioned this before. We miss the whole point of the Gospels if we only see what Jesus did. The Gospels tell us not only of the things that Jesus did, but the things that Jesus does. And we've missed the whole point of the Scriptures if we fail to realize that. And not only the things that Jesus does in the Gospels, but the things that the Holy Spirit continues to do in the book of Acts through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And we miss it all. And we miss it in our lives as well. You see, we live our lives as isolated lives. And we think that the stories and the things that we do are only related to us. And the problems and the difficulties that we have are ours only. And we never see Jesus in our lives. We fail to see his hand. We fail to experience his blessing. Now, there is an inherent difference in the Scriptures between relating to a human being, another human being, and relating to God. Mary, a gal at work, is sad one day when I went in. I talk to her often, and this day she's particularly sad, and I say, Mary, why are you so sad today? She tells me that her sister is dying in the hospital of cancer. I must go and visit her, I tell Mary. So seeing a situation causes me to respond and to act. We see things and we hear things and we respond. With God, it's the opposite. The sequence is exactly reversed. You see, because I never see God. I seldom run into any clues that remind me of God unless I'm looking hard for them. And for that reason, Christianity has always, always insisted that trust and obedience come first and knowledge follows. I do not get to know God and then do his will. I get to know God by doing his will. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to know God. For he that cometh to God must believe what? That he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And in Romans 10:17, the Apostle Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We do not see first and then act. We act and then see. And that, my friend, is why the person who waits to see clearly before he will believe never, ever starts on the journey. They never do. Because God demands belief in him and trust in him. Now, in this passage here in John chapter, the beginning chapters of John, and we're going to talk about some of these things, but in John chapter 3 and verse 17, and we just heard from John 3:16 this morning. And that's certainly probably the most well-known verse in the Bible. It may be Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. But between the two of those, people that know nothing about the Lord probably know those two verses. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But in John 3:17, it says this, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the mission of Jesus Christ when he was sent is not one of judgment, but one of of compassion and one of grace, not of condemnation. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. And there's stories that follow that. The story of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, he came to the Lord. And the Lord, he came to the Lord in all his religious rites. He was a rabbi and an important official. And Jesus said to him, "Ye must be born again." He didn't come to condemn Nicodemus, but he came so that he might have life. Then you go to the next chapter. Chapter 4, the woman at the well of Samaria. And we're familiar with that, those of us who are familiar with the Gospel of John. She came and she was a woman that was really of disrepute. She had five husbands, the scriptures say, and the one that she was living with now was not her husband. So she was one of these women of real disrepute. In fact, she came in the afternoon when she knew that nobody else would be coming to draw water. And she did that for a good reason. She didn't want to hear all the taunts. "Well, there she goes. She'll sleep with anybody. I wonder who she's got now." And she had heard all these stories over and over again. And so she comes at a time when there's none of that that she has to listen to. I don't know about you, but with me, the hardest things in me, in my life, when I'm wrong or when I'm lacking, or it's to remind me of something that I already know. That's hard for me. It's hard for me to be called a certain thing, and I know it's true, but I don't want to hear it. I know I should do something about it, but I don't want to hear it. And so here's this woman with all of these husbands seeking pleasure and seeking fulfillment in life, and the last thing she wants to hear is people calling her a slut and a tramp. But that's what people do, isn't it? And so she came to Jesus, came at a time when she would be away from the men and the women of the city, and she came to Jesus, and Jesus told her about all that she ever did. And she was so thrilled with that story, she went back to the men of the city and said, "Here, come and see a man who told me all things ever I did." The last things she would want to hear. But Jesus said, "You have five husbands. And the one that you're sleeping with now is not your husband." He knew that. But he didn't condemn her, because the scripture said Jesus came not to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. And so she ran back with the news. "This man told me everything ever I did. And you know what? He loves me anyway. He loves me anyway. He told me all things ever I did. And he didn't condemn me." Can you imagine that? I'm sure she was blown away. For the first time, her story that was public was forgiven. And she wasn't condemned. Another story in John chapter 8. Another woman. And this woman lived in the land of Judah. And she was an adulterer too. In fact, she got caught in the very act of adultery. in a time when perhaps she was having her needs met in her for a moment, she gets hauled out of bed and hauled down the street. And you can imagine what the people were saying as she went by. There's that slut of a woman going by. And they bring her to Jesus. And Jesus is holding a Sunday school class at the temple. And they haul this woman in to the temple. And they interrupt the class. And they say this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And the law says she should be stoned. But what do you say? What does Jesus say when it says that he came not to condemn the world? John 1 and 17. The law says this, but what does grace say? And Jesus does some remarkable thing here, and this ties in with our video of the girl drawing on the sand. Jesus got down and drew in the sand. I don't know what he wrote or what he drew, but he got down, and not only did he get down once, he got down twice, and he drew in the sand. And in doing so, he took the attention away from this sinful woman, this woman that people would call a slut and no good. He took the attention away from her and directed it to the sand. Now, I don't know if you, when you were watching this video here, but I don't know if you saw that Wendy Miller walked up. How many saw Wendy Miller come up and talk to me? You guys, because you're sitting over there. Very, very, very few. What were the rest of you doing? You were looking at the video. You were looking at the stuff in the sand. And Jesus says he wrote, took the focus off the woman and wrote in the sand the grace of God and was able to ask her at the end of that session, those people who dropped their stones, those Jews who came for one purpose, to stone this adulterous woman, where are your accusers? Where are they? They're not there. Neither do I condemn you, Jesus said. Why? Because Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I don't know about the emotions of that woman, but I can guarantee you this. She went back to her home different than she came from the home she came. You see, she was dragged out of her home and dragged through the streets, and people were calling her names. Now she was forgiven. And it blew her away, I can tell you that. It blew her away. Can you imagine being dragged as an adulteress from bed and dragged through the streets and knowing that the certainty of your death was there? She had committed adultery, and the Jewish leaders and leadership made no bones about the fact that people who commit adultery are stoned. And so her life was gone. But now Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And as she went back home forgiven, she was blown away. I wonder how, if we've been blown away by the grace of God, by a God that does things for us that are so unique and so outside of the circumstances that we dwell in. The circumstances that we dwell in tells us that could never happen. The disciples went through that. And when the winds and the waves were still, they were blown away because everything in life told them that those kind of things do not happen. But Jesus said otherwise. And I don't know what you're dealing with today and the struggles that you're having and the difficulties and the ups and downs of life. But Jesus wants to be a part of that life and wants to come in and make it different and wants to blow you away because he came not to condemn you, but to forgive you. That the world through him, and that you as an individual might be saved. Blown away, isn't it? And if you've never experienced that, you've never experienced what it is to live. Just to have Jesus blow you away because you know it's him. And you know that he can do the things that no one else can do, and he can forgive you and cleanse you and not condemn you. Let's give thanks. Our Father, we think of all the people that would want to condemn us, and we go through life and we're told so many things in life. We're not educated enough. We're not skilled enough. We don't have what it takes to do the job. We're not good husbands and wives. We have so many flaws. And the world condemns us and criticizes us. But we come to Jesus who forgives. And we thank you for the grace of God. And Lord, those of us that have experienced his love and grace can testify that we're blown away. We pray, Lord, that every person in this room this morning may have had that experience where Jesus blows them away because he knows their sins and he knows their shortcomings and he knows their faults. And yet he extends grace and doesn't condemn. We give thanks for a God of love, and we pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.